Over 5 million people play football in the USA, and here to bring it to you in the raw, uncut, unadulterated is the undisputed number one sports show in Atlanta and abroad. 100 yards of football, live from headquarters. It's more than a game, more than a show. It's where football blends culture, economics, and society. Tap in, tune in, and lock in to 100 yards of football now.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA playoffs, fights, and even next season's futures. And don't forget that the MLB is back as well. Who are you picking to win the World Series? BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Welcome to 100 Yards of Football. And tonight is our Legends segment. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a great show for you tonight. We got the Price family on with us tonight. We got Coach Norman Price. We got his son, coach at Atlantic High School, great basketball player at Seacrest, Greg Price on with us tonight. Hey, guys, welcome to the show.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
This is a dream come true to have the two of you on with me tonight. So I'm excited. You know, when I think about Coach Price, you know, of course, you know, back in the old Atlantic High days, I was in school in the mid-70s, and he was still there. And so, you know, here's the thing, Coach. You know, we know you as a great coach. Yeah. We know you as a great athletic director. We know you were assistant principal at one time. But what we didn't know about you is what a great athlete you were yourself before you became a coach.
Oh, okay.
All right. And so, first of all, let me ask you this. You're always the tallest man on campus. How tall are you?
Well, I used to be 6'3".
6'3"? That's all?
Yeah, that's all.
That's all? Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, so let me ask you this. When did you start playing basketball or baseball? And I know you were a great runner. You also was a track star.
Yeah.
So how did that all come about for you back in Arkansas?
Well, I lived on a small farm about 5 miles out of town. Mm-hmm. My dad was a coal miner. Mm-hmm. And we raised about a bale of cotton a year. But anyway, I had a brother that was into sports, and he was pretty good. And it started me wanting to be like him. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to be a hurdler, and I wanted to make the Olympic team. Wow. And that was my goal. And but as I got into high school, we didn't have a track, and we didn't have any hurdles. Mm-hmm. So I found a little book in the library written by a pole vaulter.
Okay.
I can't remember his name right now, but he had all the dimensions of the hurdles and how far apart they were. Mm-hmm. So I got the shop teacher at school to build me 3 hurdles. And that's when I started hurdling.
Oh, wow. So it's amazing now. It's amazing because you're self-taught then.
Yeah.
You're self-taught.
Yes. My coach didn't know a thing about hurdling. And, another interesting story. When I was a sophomore, I was playing football. Well, I was going out for football. Mm-hmm. And one Friday, coach came to me and said, "Price, I'm going to start you tonight." But I was playing end. and I lined up where the ends all line up. The kickoff came, and the ball came right to me. And I caught the ball, and I run 80 yards for a touchdown.
Wow.
First time I ever touched
the ball. Wow, that's amazing, man. That's a great story right there. That's amazing. Because, see, Coach, I had no idea that you played football. I would have never known that had I not, you know, looked into some things about you. I would assume that you were a great basketball player and that I knew you probably ran track because you always coached track.
Yeah.
But I had no idea that you played football. And you also played a little baseball as well, right?
Well, I did not much. But I did then when I was in the Marines.
Okay.
And I was on a Marine team, and we won I had a triple that got us to win the base championship.
Wow.
So, but that was interesting.
That's amazing.
I went to my little school. I lived in a town. Mm-hmm. Only 1,000 people.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we were very small, but we were consolidated and had buses going out all over the area, 10 miles out to pick up kids. Mm-hmm. And we had a really good athletic program. Mm-hmm. We, in basketball, we went to state tournament. Mm-hmm. And got beat by the team that won it. And so, but in the process, there's a coach up in the stands, saw me play, and he wanted me to come down to a little Southern State college in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I want to go to the University of Arkansas. Well, he thoughtfully called a coach up there and recommended me, and they brought me up. So I went to the University of Arkansas on a basketball scholarship.
That's amazing.
And I played all three sports at Arkansas, really.
Wow, that's amazing, man. That's amazing. You know, when you think about today and the time that we live in today, right? You know, even during my time in high school, when we were at Atlantic, you know, we were allowed to play multiple sports.
Yeah.
I mean, I played football, and as soon as football season was over, I went to basketball. And when that was over, I went to track. And no coach got in the way of that.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's not that way. You know, you play one sport, and they don't want you to play the other sports. I think it's crazy. Yeah. You know, I think you get better in each sport when you play all of them together. I think basketball helps football, and they all work together, right?
Yeah.
But nowadays, man, they make you specialize at an early age.
Yes.
And it's tough because, you know, I think about my own personal self. When I was in the ninth grade at Atlantic, the best thing I did as a ninth grader was play basketball.
Yeah.
And what if Josh Smith would have told me, well, Bobby, you got to stop playing football, right? You got to focus on basketball, right? Oh, my God. I would have missed the boat, right, Greg?
Yeah.
I would have really missed the boat. So I'm so glad that I played in the era that I played in because you have that going on now. And but I really believe that each sport works with the other, and it helps you get better. You know, I know jumping, like for me, especially when I got in the NFL, you know, the receivers were all taller than me pretty much, right? And so I had to be able to jump. And had I not been a long jumper, or had I not played basketball, working on my jumping all the time, you know, where would I be? I mean, it helped my football game. It helped my football game. So you went 80 yards on the first time you got on the football field, and then you played football also at Arkansas. You were a great basketball player, but you were a great track runner. And you just didn't run the hurdles, Coach. You were a pretty decent quarter miler, right?
I had the school record in the quarter mile.
Wow.
47.7.
Wow.
But lost the train of thought here.
That's okay. But that's a heck of a race. The quarter mile, you know, I ran track. I know the quarter to me is the hardest and toughest race on the track and field team. And so it's a sprint, but it's also endurance. And I tell you, man, that is just a tough race. That's a tough
I had the Arkansas record till all the black guys started running.
Hey, Coach, they started running 45s and 44s, right? Hey, but here's the good thing. You can say that at one time you held the record.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So now, so Greg, for you growing up, you know, your dad, by the time y'all moved to Delray from Arkansas, right? You were just a baby?
Yeah, I was only 2 years old.
2 years old?
Yeah.
But I can imagine at a young age, you went to all the basketball games. You were influenced by, I always call it the culture, right?
Right. All football, basketball, and track.
Basketball, all of it, right?
Yeah.
So how was it for you growing up? What really inspired you? Because I know your dad was coaching, but you got a chance to see a lot of guys play at a young age. What was that like for you?
We did play a little bit of Little League when I got to be 12 years old.
Okay.
And that was the first kind of, I guess, a team sport that I participated in. But my brother was a pitcher and I was a catcher.
Oh, wow. So we could practice in the backyard.
Yeah, we could practice in the backyard. He was really good at it because he was a lefty. And a lot of people in Little League, that lefty gives you a little bit of an advantage. And he was good at it. He made the All-Stars. I didn't make the All-Stars, but then when we went to junior high, that's where we started competing, you know, athletically with everybody else. Of course, I got to go to junior high with a lot of good players.
A lot of athletes, right?
Yes.
No question. So when we talk about your high school team at Seacrest, right?
Yeah.
And your dad was coaching you the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, before I ask you that question, was it tough that your dad was your coach as well? How was that?
No, I didn't think so at all. Okay. I don't think so. Maybe he thought so. But I didn't think it was tough at all. I did what he said, tried to do what we were supposed to do.
Absolutely. Well,
one thing he did do, though, that when I was a 10th grader, Willie Gibson was a senior.
Right. Okay.
And he made us play one-on-one after practice every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both of us ended up hating each other for doing it. Because we competed, and he didn't like to lose, and I didn't like to lose.
Absolutely.
It was a hell of a competition.
Tons of people take multivitamins, but it's important to choose one that is top quality. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. Their special blend of ingredients supports gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It's also lifestyle-friendly and fits a wide range of diets. There's only 1 gram of sugar and no chemicals or artificial anything. Reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/believe. That's BLEAV. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/believe. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Athletic Greens, take ownership of your health.
Well, I tell you what, Greg, though, you know, at the time you don't think that way, but that was the best thing for you, playing him one-on-one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That made you the guy you was when he left.
Right.
You know, because you were a monster player. I mean, I think at one point at Seacrest, you led the team in scoring, and you led the team in assists.
Right.
Yeah, that only happens in the modern day. right? That only happens in the modern day. You know, you got these guys who are this triple-double stat that they keep now. Those kind of things were not kept when you were in high school.
Right.
That said a lot about you as a basketball player because you would give the ball up.
Oh, I had some good players to give it to. Sammy and I were a really good combo. Sammy Taylor and I were
Yeah. Man, I tell you, Sammy was a heck of an athlete.
Yes, he was.
He truly was a great athlete. And I can imagine watching him playing defense. I'm quite sure he was a great defensive player.
Yes, he was.
He had to be.
Yeah.
And so now, Greg, when we talk about your high school team, you had Sammy Taylor. Was Rick Roden with you?
Rick Roden.
Oh, wow, man.
Yep.
Man. Now, I call Rick Roden the GOAT. He might be the best athlete that ever come out of it at Seacrest out there already, period.
He's one of the best, that's for sure. He was quite a phenomenal athlete, for sure.
Yes. And so you had Sammy Taylor, you had Rick Roden. Was Ernie Williams with you?
Did
you
Ernie Williams.
Right.
And I see Dudley Weems. And what was our center's name, Dad? I can't even think of his name now. Oh, he passed away a long time ago.
He did.
Danny. I can't even think of his name.
The fishing guy.
The fishing guy. He loved the fish. So I would have been hanging out with that guy.
Well, he passed away not long after high school.
Oh, right. It's been that long ago. Wow. That's tough. That's tough.
Dan Duncan.
Dan Duncan. That's his name.
Okay. Well, what about Freddie Mitchell? Was Freddie Mitchell on the team as well?
Yeah, he was a younger player.
Right. Okay.
And he didn't play much while I played, but he played the next year a little bit with my brother.
Okay.
And so, they had another player there that was really good. He played a lot with me. Mm-hmm. Oh, what was his name? I can't even think of it. Who was the guy that played guard with Steve, Dad?
I'm thinking.
He was pretty good. He played a lot when I played too, as a junior.
He did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what.
He was from Boynton Beach.
He was from Boynton.
Yeah.
All right. So let me ask y'all this question. So let me ask you this question. This is something that I always think about. When I think about Palm Beach County, right? I always say on the south end of the county, football is the sport, right? And then I start to think, when you start talking about the north end of the county, Riviera, West Palm is more of a basketball area, traditionally, right?
I think you're probably right up the right place.
And then you get the kids from Boynton. The kids from Boynton are really good basketball players. It seems that they have good basketball because when I was in high school, Lake Worth had all the kids from Boynton. And they would beat us. I mean, we couldn't beat Lake Worth. You know, they had the stars, the Taylor brothers. I mean, I can go on, Ronald Raz. I can go on and on. So, but for Seacrest, you had the kids in Boynton and some of the kids in Delray and some kids from Boca Raton. Am I right? At Seacrest at the time?
Yes.
I think that's pretty much what y'all was made up of was Delray, Boynton, and Boca.
Not much from Boca, but Delray and Boynton, yes.
Right. Not from Boca?
Not from Boca.
Okay. No, Delray Beach High School had kids from Boca. That's where I'm getting it confused.
Okay.
They had kids from Boca.
Seacrest started in 1945. We had Boca kids and Boynton kids and mm-hmm. Delray kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't beat Lake Worth in football for several years. But... we have an interesting story how we beat Lake Worth.
You had some strategy?
Greg, who's the guy that has the big trucking industry out in Tahoe?
Zucala.
Who?
Zucala?
No. I started a story here and I can't remember her name, so I'll back
off. It'll come back to us.
But anyway, he was at Lake Worth, mm-hmm. and he got upset with Lake Worth, so they moved to Delray, mm-hmm. and he intercepted a lateral, run it back for a touchdown. We beat Lake Worth for the first time in history. Ed Walpole was his name.
Okay.
Well, I just thought of the guy's name that played with Steve, Victor Romming.
Okay.
He was pretty good. He was pretty good.
So, all right, Coach Price, let me ask you this, right? Because, I mean, you came from Arkansas. You came to Delray.
Yes.
Right. So when you saw the talent pool as far as athletics were concerned, did you feel that we had great athletes at the high school to choose from?
Yes. I was very fortunate when I came here. We had some really good basketball players.
Yes.
And there was somebody in junior high school that had worked with them and mm-hmm. taught them some skills.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the 6'6", 6'7" guy move in.
Wow. Okay. And that helps.
he was pretty good. And, first year we had to get a physical. He went mm-hmm. to the doctor and he wouldn't let him play because of his heart.
Oh, okay. Wow.
We ended up winning 13 games my first year.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the next year he got to play and we went 30-1.
Whoa, wow, man. That was a heck of a season right there now.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you were quite successful at Seacrest with basketball.
Yeah.
You know, and traditionally we're not known for basketball, but you turned the program around and you got the basketball program going and you had a great career. I mean, when I look at your numbers, you know, you won about 68% of your games. That's incredible in the game of basketball, right? I had Coach Price about the end of January this year. I had two gentlemen on this show, and one I knew about because he was a basketball coach at North Shore when I was in high school.
Yeah, young man had
Andrew Floyd.
Floyd Andrews.
Right?
Probably the best coach in Palm Beach County.
Hey, that guy. So I had him on the show, and Greg, what he was on the show, we were talking about Roosevelt. I had no idea that Roosevelt in 1968 went 27-0.
Well, Dad took us to their district finals against Ely, and we were the only white people in the crowd.
In the gym.
We had a great game. They had Pogo Lang and Nicholson and Lowry. Yeah. They had a great team. It was like men against boys.
You know what's so amazing about those guys were, you know, in high school, and I think it's still the same today, you play 8-minute quarters, right? So you basically playing 32 minutes is the whole game.
Yeah.
And those guys were scoring in some games 140 points. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a 3-point line. Like, how do you do that?
No.
A 3-point line. How do you score? So it's like you got to be running up and down the floor like that all the time, right? Coach, now when you coached, were you more of a defensive mind coach or you're an offensive mindset? How do you think about the game as a whole? Did you try to win from a defensive standpoint?
I started my life as a defensive ball control coach.
Okay.
And I learned that at Arkansas.
Okay.
And I continued with it, but ended up, I didn't have any big kids to play.
Right.
So I had to figure out a way to get the ball more often. So I started pressing a lot.
Ah, okay. Okay.
I did some steals. I didn't have to get as many rebounds.
That's right.
That speeded up my game a lot.
Right. And man, that's cool.
Greg
man.
And Sammy Taylor was two good little guards.
Hey, I can imagine that ball being inbound in, and they trapped that thing down there at the bottom of the free throw line, right?
Yeah.
On that press. Yeah, so Greg, what was your game like? Were you more of a perimeter shooter, or are you penetrated, or are you a little bit of both, whatever the defense gave you?
Who, me?
You, yeah.
I was a perimeter shooter, mainly.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But we didn't have no three-pointers then.
You have no three-pointers, right?
No.
You know, I went in the gym one night, and I was with Coach Coffey.
Uh-huh.
Larry Coffey is my very best friend in the world, right? So I'm with them up at Twin Lakes, all right? After integration, when Coach Coffey was a head football coach at Twin Lakes, and I went to see him play a basketball game, and they had this guy named Russell Robinson. Greg, I don't know if you remember that guy's name, Russell Robinson. And of course, he come out of the locker room, and everybody had on white All-Stars, but he had on red All-Stars. And Greg, he took every shot from almost half court. I'm like, dude, what is he doing, right? And they had like three guys that were 6'6" or better. And so when he missed those shots, they rebounded and just put it back up. And you know, I'm like, this is crazy. So, but what I remember from the game, when I was a young fellow, what I remember from the game was, you know, he would shoot it, and then if he made one or two, somebody would come out and get him, and then they'll put the ball on the floor and go to the basket, right? Yeah. So in other words, he had his own little chess game going on, and his coach, Coach Saravello, allowed mm-hmm. him to play that way,
mm-hmm.
which was unique and hard, right?
And
So I saw that when I got in high school. I started to think that way as a junior. And I took a long jumper like that. Coach Dobar called me to the sideline and sit me down on the bench. So that was the end of that theory for me, right? You know, I can't play that way. So, but anyway, very intriguing. A lot of great basketball in Palm Beach County, you know, over the years. You know, Coach, when you had the team, you really took the team to a different level. And you made basketball at Seacrest very respectable. Very respectable. And the competition you played, I mean, you played everybody. I mean, you played Ely. I mean, you were down in Miami. You played everybody. I think you even played Plantation one year, something like that. I mean, you played
everybody.
Yes.
Pompano.
I mean, you know, and that those are places where basketball is played at a very high level, right? And so I commend you because you took what you had, and just by you telling me right then that, you know, you're not very tall, so you knew you had to get more opportunities by pressing, trapping the ball, and things like that, playing hardcore defense, which is smart, right? And so that allowed you to win a whole bunch of games just by your coaching ability. You know, it's really very difficult, or a shame, I'm going to say it this way, when you get a coach that's coaching and can't coach the kids that he have. He's got a system, but he can't coach the kids that he have.
I coached a team that went to the finals of the state, and Greg probably coached the best team that's ever been in Delray Beach. And he can tell you the guys that was on that team.
Wow. So Greg, who was on that team? Who do you have on that team?
Well, I had a Rodney Dobard.
Okay.
I had Brian Hansel at guard, Keith Hogan at guard.
Okay.
A boy named Reggie Flannery, and another boy named James Blue.
Wow.
And if I'd had one more player, we got beat. We went 28-6, and I got beat twice by two state champions. So those were the only two teams in Florida that beat us.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this. Was Barry would Barry Hill's son had been on that team? Had he stayed?
No, he was after that.
After that, okay.
And I don't want to tell you that story, but he could have been a star at Atlantic High School too.
Wow.
But he transferred to to I think Olympic Heights after his freshman year.
Oh wow, wow!
And that's when I quit that year. I retired after that year. When I was there, that was the reason I retired.
Oh wow, that's tough, man. That's tough. Yeah. Well, let me ask, was there a lot of recruiting going on in that time?
Well, period? I'll tell you a story. Mm-hmm. Back in 80, I think it was 83 or about 83, there was a Boca High had Reggie Dobart, Ronnie Brady, Ant Quince, and a white center. And they beat everybody. They were freshmen. They were all freshmen.
Wow.
And I got Reggie came to me and Ronnie Brady came to me. Amp Quint stayed at Boca, mm-hmm. and the O'Rourke, his name was O'Rourke. He went to Pope John Paul.
Okay.
Well, I ended up with the best of the team, but they could have been state qualifiers for sure if they had stayed at one school, but there might not have been enough basketballs to go around.
Well, you know, but that's amazing now, right? Because now, I mean, both of you guys can tell me this. You know, I come up with my own theory. You know, I got four boys. My oldest son is a basketball player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he won state. Matter of fact, his junior year at the highest classification here in Atlanta, they were 31-0, Greg. And lost a state title game to a team named Wheeler High School out in Marietta, which was a great program out there. And we got beat pretty good. I think we got beat between 15 and 20 points. And we hadn't lost a game the whole year.
Right.
And so the next year, his senior year, and I'll never forget it, Coach Price, I remember losing state in football my junior year.
Right.
And I had one more year to get it right. And I didn't get it right. So that night when my boy came home, I was waiting on him. That when they lost that state title game, I sat him down. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, make your mind up, go back to work, get back to the game next year, and finish the game. I mean, you got to finish it because you got one more opportunity. Don't let this opportunity go by. Yeah. So work extremely hard this offseason. And the other guard that played with them, we had a center who's like 6'7" on a high school team. And everything went through him. And that team just trapped him, right? And because we're so mechanical and going, putting that ball down the paint, the guys on the perimeter never really played. Greg, they're just looking to throw the ball. Dude, shoot the ball, right? Just shoot the ball. You can shoot the ball. Because the other guard that played with my son was a guy, kid by the name of Jody Meeks, who played at Kentucky. He was good enough to go to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And he had like a 10, 11-year career in the NBA. And so those guys could play, but they wouldn't shoot the ball. We were just trying to get the ball inside the whole game.
Yeah.
And that team said, we're not going to allow them to beat us that way. And we didn't make those kind of adjustments, right? And so the next year they came back and we put them on a national schedule. So we went to Fairfax, California, got beat like a slave. We played a team from, matter of fact, we lost to Stephon Curry's team, which we should have beat. They should have beat us, Greg. They should have beat us. But we lost. And then we lost to this team from New York, a private school that had 5 7-footers on the team from the Sudan and two great guards. And so we couldn't defend them, right? I mean, we had a 6'9 kid. And the next kid was Jody, who was a guard, went to Kentucky. He was 6'4". And so my son's 6'2", and everybody else is below that. But when we got in the state tournament that year, they beat everybody by 20. And they won the state title.
Wow.
Oh.
And I felt like I had won it because, you know, I lost two of those things in football in high school, right?
Right.
I was so proud. It was a great moment for all of us, right?
Sure.
So I understand how that goes. But nowadays with the AAU basketball, how do y'all feel about AAU basketball?
Well, I tell you the truth, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to coach today mm-hmm. because all it is a recruiting game. And guys can go anywhere in the state to play. There's no – and it's almost all over the United States, but in Florida, it's really really bad about. And you could be a great coach and get out recruited.
Exactly. And we all know that there could be a lot of different motivations for being recruited, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. It don't necessarily have to do with just playing basketball.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We know that, right? And so, which is sad. And what you lose is, I just think back in our community, when I played in high school and when you were in high school, the bond that we had from our community, the pride that we had, even to this day, I love Delray Beach so much, right? And I'm telling you, I'll tell people in a minute that there are no greater football players in the world than Delray Beach, right? I brag on Delray because I'm proud about Delray and where I come from. And the guys that played with me and before me and after me that came through Delray, right? I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
But if all those guys had the opportunity to go to Miami or go to, you know, just move, I mean, it's not the same. It's just really not the same, right?
Yeah.
And so I agree with you, Coach Price, on that.
Before I got here, there was a high school, Delray High School, played in the state tournament. They had a great player named Bill Talbot. He went on to University of Miami and played.
Okay.
And I'd like to introduce you to a name.
Okay.
Babe Frump.
Okay. Who is that?
He was an early football coach at Delray.
Oh, okay.
He played against Bronco Nagurski.
Oh, wow. So he go way back.
Bears, yeah. And he said, when we played him, we had to tape our ears down. They didn't have helmets.
That's right.
He was coach and teacher at Seacrest back in the early days. And he was an interesting character.
Wow. Well, you know, all those football guys are very interesting characters. I can tell you right now. So, Coach Price, I'm going to mention some names, and I want you to tell me what you think. Randy Cooper.
Well, Randy Cooper came as my JV basketball coach.
Okay.
And, by the way, I was his JV football coach.
Wow.
And his assistants I had on my JV football team and taught them all the wing T.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. And, are you kidding me? So no, you, I'm hold on kidding. Now. Hold on. So you telling me the offense that I ran in high school under Coach Wilder, you brought that offense to Seacrest?
Yeah. We were playing that same offense in junior high.
Wow.
At Delray Junior High, we were running the wing T too.
That is amazing, and dude.
We had Ronnie Mack and Sammy Taylor and Horace Bush running it.
All those guys. They moved
right into the high school and did
Dennis
it
Matthews, Doug Davis.
Dennis Matthews, oh Doug Davis. God. That's right.
Coach Price, you got to be kidding me, man. You, oh my gosh.
See, Baldwin and Farrell and Wilder. Well, Wilder wasn't on my JV team, but
right.
Wilder learned his football from Webb Pell over in Pahokee.
Man, that's amazing.
Let me tell you a story about Pahokee.
Uh-huh.
He was our arch rival, Webb Pell was.
Okay.
He studied his film, and every time they'd get inside the 10, he'd put another man on the field. He'd substitute 11th man.
Okay.
And every time, if you run a broke a wrong run by his bench, he had number 12 man signed off the bench to make tackle.
Make the tackle.
It was only a penalty.
That's all it was, right? That's right. That's right.
We had a black guy from Boynton Beach, Davis.
Mm-hmm. Doug Davis?
Really, really great running back.
He
broke one down the sideline, and number 12 come off the bench, and Davis just sidestepped him, went on down.
Touchdown. I love it.
After the game, Coop goes over to Webb Pell and says, if you're going to send that man off the bench and make the tackle, you better teach him how to tackle.
How to tackle. Hey, you know what's amazing? When we talk about sports, right? You know, whatever the rules are, right? You know, coaches are going to take it up to the top, right? So I've seen that happen before in a game at Carver High years ago when the coach came off the bench and tackled somebody. And all they got was a 15-yard penalty, and they didn't score.
Yeah.
They didn't score. It was like, whoa, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing, right? But, yeah, so Randy Cooper was so competitive. Greg, you know what he should do to me? Because when I was in high school, he wasn't coaching at all. But he was still on campus back in 75, 76, 77. And he would always want to play me in basketball, right?
He's a dirty basketball player. Oh,
my gosh. He's going to elbow
you. He throws more elbows than anybody knock you down. Played against.
Hey, Greg, I used to laugh at it, right? I go, what is this guy doing?
Yeah. I used to play him, too.
but you know what? What a great man.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Coach Cooper. Man, I love Coach Cooper.
Coop was my best friend.
Was he really? And wow.
When he died, I got his funeral on a Seahawk football field.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow, man. That's amazing. But you know, it's something, right? That year, I can tell you what year he died. He died in 2014. Because I remember me and my mom and Larry Coffey was going to the hospital at Bethesda to pray for one of our classmates. Okay. She was put in hospice at Bethesda. And so we went there to pray for her, right? But when we got there, we saw a lot of people from Boynton there, and they said Coach Harris had just drove himself to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
So he had the stroke, and he had the aneurysm, right?
Right.
So we kind of shift gears. We went to see Coach Harris and his wife, talked with her, prayed with them. And before we left the room, she said, you know, Coach Cooper is two doors down from Coach Harris.
Yeah.
And so we went there to see him, and Dana was there in the room.
Uh-huh.
His daughter, Dana, who graduated with me, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we went in there and spent some time with him and prayed for him. And then I think about a week later, he passed.
Yeah.
I think it's about a week later. So that's how I remember the year he passed, because it was that year that, all of them were in the hospital at the same time.
Hmm.
So Coach, tell me about Coach Baldwin.
Well, he was known as the badass.
he was a bad dude, wasn't he? Hey, let me tell you something about him that was good for me. He was a tough coach, right?
Yes.
Even though he didn't coach my position. But, you know, he didn't mess around. He didn't play. And when I went to Florida State, the guy who coached my position was Don Baldwin all over again.
Okay.
His name was Jack Stanton. He was a hard, tough dude. Oh, my gosh. I mean, he have his knee in your back pushing you the whole time. And he's always in your face like that. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I didn't like it at the time, of course, right? Because I had a rude awakening when I went to Florida State. So remember, my senior year, I'm the quarterback of the high school team. So what that meant, Greg, you know, in practice, nobody hit me. Yeah. So I'm like the white collar football player. Nobody can hit me. I just throw balls in practice. But Friday night, I get to light it up, right? I'm fresh on Friday night. I go to Florida State, and it changed. I went from a white collar football player to a blue collar football player. They had me laying out diving for balls. I'm hitting my head on the ground, bam! And I say, you know, football has sure changed for me.
Yeah.
It's not easy like it was in high school. But that guy, I'm so thankful though, Coach. I'm really thankful for hard coaching. I'm glad that that guy was my coach because he really made me better. There's no doubt about it. He made me better. And anytime you coach hard, it'll make you better if you don't buck the system, right? If you buy in, if the player buys in, you got to buy in, right? If he buy in and you coach hard, you're going to play better. I just believe that, right?
Yeah.
I just believe that. So what about this guy right here? Reggie Dobart.
The coach or the player, Junior?
The coach.
He was a good player, I tell you that. I used to play with him in AAU ball back in the day.
Right.
He was a hell of a defensive player.
Uh-huh.
And he could guard anybody. Guys are 3 and 4 inches bigger than him.
Oh, wow.
We played for Marathon Oil down at the Civic Center.
Okay.
And he was a hell of a defensive player.
Wow. Wow. Now, he played college ball at Cookman, right?
I think so.
At Cookman.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, you played at Stetson. And Stetson is in Daytona, right?
It's 30 miles east of there.
Okay.
Or west of there.
Okay.
But we played Cookman. We'd always play them in a couple of scrimmages and games before the season.
Exhibition games like that.
Yeah.
Cool. So how was that experience for you, Greg, being up there in Daytona?
Oh, I had a great time. I got really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I made the varsity team my freshman year because of what was it called? Up in the hills of West Virginia, you had a plane crash and lost all their football players.
Yeah. You're talking about, I'll tell you in a second. It'll come to me in a second.
Yeah. Well, that's why I got to play my freshman year. So, and we had a real good team.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the NCAA. It was college division. We weren't in division one.
Right.
And but we went up. And I was starting by the time we went to the playoffs. So
wow, man, that's cool.
I had a real good experience until I tore my knee up that summer.
Oh, you did? You do your ACL?
Yep. And I had the same surgeon that Barry Hill did, and his didn't work, and mine didn't work either.
Wow, man, that's too bad.
They were experimenting on us. And in fact, the surgeon got fired from the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, wow. That's bad. That's bad. Yep. That's tough, man.
Yep.
But, you know, that's one of the things that when we sign up to be athletes and we sign up to
this that's sport, right.
It's a part of it, right?
Well, it kept me out of going to Vietnam, too. So, come on. Yep,
exactly, right? Well, I tell you, man, you know, nobody escapes injury.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I remember as a player myself, everybody said, man, you're fine. You look good. But nobody knew I had my neck fuse. I had C4, 5, 6, and 7 fuse. Nobody knew that I had my left shoulder replaced. I got an artificial shoulder over here.
Well, you had a great career.
Well, thank you. I mean, I had a lot of fun. And, it was something, Greg, I like to share this with people because, I started dreaming to play pro football when I was 9 years old.
Wow.
And the reason I started dreaming to play pro football because we had such great talent in Delray, and I was inspired. The first time I saw Gail Sayers playing a game, I never forget it. Just like it was last night. I saw Gail Sayers play, and he's the most exciting thing you ever seen running football, right?
Yeah.
And I was so excited and inspired by what I saw. I go to my room. I don't know where I got this from, right? I go to my room, I get a pencil, and I write on a piece of paper, I am a pro football player. And then I will go outside, and I take my T-shirt, right? My little crew neck T-shirt. And I get a pen and write number 40 on it and put Sayers on the back. And go outside and try to do all the moves I saw Gail Sayers do. And I got pretty good at it. Greg, at a young age, I got pretty good at dodging and ducking guys, right? And I got to the point where if I didn't want you to touch me, you couldn't touch me, right? And then after that, maybe about a year later, I go to a Carver High football game and I see Anthony Penn play.
Yeah.
And I say, forget Gail Sayers. I want to be that guy. Right? I want to be Anthony Penn, right?
Yeah.
And so then I changed my number from 40 to number 10. and I'll put pen on the back of my shirt, right?
No kidding.
And go out, and that's when I started to throw the football. At a young age, I started to throw the football like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then my generation, we had the birth of the Delray Rocks.
Right.
And so we got a chance to play organized ball at an early age. You know, thank God for Bill Smith. Bill Smith started that program in Delray, and that was in the 60s. I think he started in 67 or 68. And to this day, the Delray Rocks is a strong organization.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still going on strong. Matter of fact, I went to homecoming this past year, and I was just amazed. I said, my God, does anything ever change in Delray? I mean, these kids at 7 years old, 6 years old, that can just run the football and know what they're doing with the football.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I go, wow, this is amazing. I mean, this is 100 years later, 50 some odd years later, and this stuff is still going on. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
And so the athletes that come out of Delray, I don't know what it is, Coach Price. I don't know if it's the water. I don't know what it is.
Did Benny Leonard ever coach you?
Okay, Benny Leonard never coached me.
Yeah, okay.
I missed him by 1 year.
Okay.
So Bump Mitchell was my first coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was a hard coach. He was a tough coach, right? And we won everything with him. We won the championship. And then the next year I was coached by a guy named Don was his name. And then the next year I go up to the big team and Benny came in and coached the second team, the 105 team, when I was on the 130-pound team for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so I just missed him by 1 year. But he was a great coach. He was a great coach.
Okay.
He was a great coach. And I heard he was a pretty good, decent football player at Seacrest.
Well, I can't comment on that.
Okay.
He played, though.
His mother didn't want him to play.
She didn't want him to play? Oh, wow. Wow. That's a bad. Hey, back in those days, if your mom didn't want you to play, you were in trouble.
Yeah.
My mom didn't want me to play either, Coach, but my dad talked her into it. I never forget being at the dinner table, and she said, no, he can't play. Richard, he can't play. I'm sitting to the table like this. I got my head down. She said, no, I don't want to play. And my dad, with a very calm voice, he said, Emma, we got to let him try. We got to let him try. And of course, she became my number one fan, right? So that's how it goes. Once they get over that and they see that the kid can play, they jump in. They jump in and go for it. Yes, sir. So tell me about, all right, so Greg, you were a great player. You were a great coach. Your dad taught you pretty much everything you knew. And then you got a brother named Steven. Tell me about Steven.
Steve's probably the winningest junior high coach in the state of Arkansas because he did it for 40 plus years.
Wow.
And he had a lot of really good teams. He competed a lot in their playoffs and stuff in junior high school. He was a junior high coach up there.
Wow.
And he's probably one of the winningest coaches in Arkansas junior high school.
Man, that's amazing right there. You know, especially when you talk about a junior high school or middle school, you only can coach kids, one year, maybe 2 years?
Maybe one or two or three at the max. It was junior high when I was there. It's 3 years, but now it's middle school.
It's middle school. Right. And then I know in most middle schools, the sixth graders can't play.
Right, right.
And you can only have, I know in the middle school that my kids went to, if you're a seventh grader, they can only have like two or three seventh graders on the team. So it's right. Just about every year you're starting all over again with eighth graders, right?
Yeah.
And so you got to some kind of way know who those kids are and have your eye on them.
Springdale kept the ninth grade in the junior high. So that helped out a lot.
That helped out, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Man, that is so much fun. Now, guess who was my basketball coach at Carver Middle School?
me think. Not Burns.
No, Burns is at Boca. Coach Burns is at Boca. But at Carver, I went to Carver Middle School.
Dad and I went to an Atlantic basketball game and saw Burns call his last game. He was retiring after refereeing the game we went to see.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
We talked to him.
You talked to him? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, the guy who coached him is Mr. Hurst. You remember Mr.
Hurst? Yeah.
Mr. Hurst.
Yeah.
He was my coach. He was my coach. And he was a heck of a basketball coach, too, right?
You're talking about Grant Gertman's brother?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Gertman's brother was my coach at Carver Middle School.
Okay, yeah.
And we pretty much beat everybody. We even beat a Lakeshore team from Belgrade. And, you know, those kids from Belgrade, they were like, their size, Greg, they were like high school kids in the eighth grade. Yeah. They were so big.
I coached at Glade Central for 4 years.
You did?
And 75 to 79.
Wow. You coached over there in 75 and 79?
Yeah.
So I was in high school at that time.
Right.
That's crazy.
I came over and saw you play in the basketball tournament. I saw your football playoff games too.
Wow. That's amazing, man.
But yeah.
Hey, that game you said you saw me in North Shore?
Yeah. Me, Rick Roden, and Steve Harden went all together to see that game.
Guess who else I met that night?
Who is that?
My wife, and we're still together.
No kidding.
She went to North Shore. She's a cheerleader at North Shore.
No kidding. Wow. That's crazy.
That was a great night for me.
That was a great night. It really was. I was impressed.
45 years later, we're still here.
Wow. Good for you.
Well, cool. Well, listen, man, it's so good to have you guys on with me tonight. And Mr. Price, I can't thank you enough for coming on. And you know, I wish we had did this a long time ago. I've missed so many great people from Buck Ward. I wish I had a chance to have Buck Ward on the show. Of course, yeah. Coach Wilder and Coach Cooper have been gone some years now. I wish I had the ability to have Coach Harris and Coach Henson,
right.
Coach Baldwin. Yeah, I wish I had the privilege to have all of them on the show now and just talk to them, right? But they're all gone. But thank God you're still here, and we're fortunate to have you still with us. And you still not, you got to write all those secrets down. I know I got to eat dinner between 5 and 5. My wife would like that because she like to eat dinner at 5:30. So I got to eat and I got to swim.
Make it easy. Get pizza.
No. We can't do that now. I know Coach Price not eating pizza. So, Coach, we swim how many times a week? 3 times a week?
Do you swim?
Oh, yes. I'm a fish. I'm a good swimmer. So how many times a week do you swim?
Do you swim for exercise?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. All right.
No. How many times do you swim?
I swim. Try to swim 5 days a week.
Wow. That's amazing.
That. Yeah.
Now, I got a friend, Coach. I got a good friend who you know his name when I call his name, who swims every day as well. And he swam for about 2 hours every day.
Oh, that's great.
His name is Greg Dobson.
Really?
You know Greg Dobson? Carver High Greg Dobson?
I remember him.
Football, basketball, pitcher.
Yeah.
Dobson. Played in the Mets organization.
You're not talking about Greg Dobson.
Hey, Greg.
No, Greg Dobson.
Greg Dobson. Barry's brother. Barry's older brother.
Okay. Right.
Barry's older brother.
On the basketball team.
Now, Barry was a pretty decent basketball player, wasn't he?
Yeah, he played for Dad.
Yep. He's still in Delray hanging on.
Okay.
He's still doing good. I see him all the time on Facebook, with his grandkids. Yep. So, listen, thank you guys again, Greg. Appreciate you guys. And Coach Price, appreciate you. Hey, listen, when I come home, I'll be home next month. I'm going to take you to dinner.
Okay.
Dinner on me. I'm going to take you out to dinner. And Greg, I want you to join us.
Sure.
But Greg, if we go to dinner with your dad, we got to eat like your dad. Got a deal?
That's all right.
Okay. Hey, are we having dessert? I want to know right now. We're going to have dessert, Coach Price?
Oh, key lime pie.
Oh, my man. My man.
Before we end our show today, we'd like to mention one more time, this show is presented by Bet Online.
Well, listen, guys, thanks again. Love you guys. Thank you for your time tonight. It's been a blessing. Well,
thank
ladies
you.
And gentlemen, that's our show for tonight. We had the great family, the Price family, Coach Norman Price and Coach Greg Price with us tonight. Seacrest, Delray, and Boynton Beach legends. Thank you guys for being with us tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
What is your favorite moment from football history? What teams and players are you cheering on? And who will win it all? We want to hear from you, our listeners. Head over to 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch and leave us a comment. We might use your suggestion in an upcoming episode. Tune in daily to the podcast and watch our show live every week. We are 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio on the Believe Podcast Network.